Good morning, Symphony and JCC. Happy Father's Day. I'm Pastor Barry, lead pastor of Symphony Church, and it's my great pleasure to welcome you to our service. I'd like to especially welcome any visitors that we have today, whether you're visiting JCC or Symphony. Now, that may sound confusing. Which church are you at? Well, for 6 months, while Pastor David, lead pastor of JCC in North Carolina, takes a sabbatical, Symphony and JCC will be journeying together, and today is the first day of that journey. And I'm excited to see the partnership between our two churches continue to grow during this season. This time, I'd like to invite you to take a minute to welcome some of the people around you. If you're watching this virtually, please join us in our Zoom room and say hello and introduce yourself there. If you are in a microchurch right now, take a minute to catch up with someone you haven't been able to talk with yet this morning. And perhaps you can also use this time to message your father or one of the fathers in the church and just wish them a happy Father's Day. And I'll see you again in a minute. We're beginning a new teaching series today that's going to continue through the summer called The Church on Mission. The church and we as members of it have a purpose. The church is more than a gathering of worshipers. We're also called to join in God's mission to this world. We're to pray for God's kingdom to come around us, for his will to be done on earth just as it is done in heaven. And then as God wills, we are to be kingdom agents in our individual spheres, but also partner together. And we're going to be unpacking a lot of what I just said over the next few weeks. But today, as a way of introducing the series, I'd like to read from Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. I'm going to read today from the NIV 84 translation, okay? Ephesians 3, 20, 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful description of the one that we worship and follow. We declare that there is no one like you on heaven or on earth. We thank you that you hear our prayers and that you love us more than we can imagine. We thank you for bringing two churches together to journey and partner for a while. And we thank you that in the midst of various transitions, both in our church and our individual lives, as well as our overall society, that we can trust in you. For not only are you faithful, but you are powerful and loving. And we ask that you would expand our imaginations this morning so that we can be even more in line with your heart. May you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Many years ago, I heard a sermon by Pastor John Ortberg based on these verses that really captured my imagination. And this sermon borrows his framework and his big idea. So all glory to God and some glory to John Ortberg. Okay, so the letter to the Ephesians, as you may know, was written by the Apostle Paul to the churches in Ephesus. And at this point, Paul is in prison. He's writing as an ambassador in chains, Ephesians 6:20. But in his mind, in his spirit, he's not in prison at all. He is gloriously free. And he writes, God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask. But under the inspiration of the Spirit, he adds two more words, or imagine. A writer named Cheryl Forbes writes that people who live imaginative lives are what-if people. They respond to ideas and events with a what-if attitude. They behave in what-if ways. And John Ortberg took that idea about the what-if, and he really ran with it. He says that what-if is a big idea. It's as big as God. It's actually the practice of God. Our God thinks, what if I make a universe? What if I make people in my own image? What if, when they sin, I don't give up on them? Today, I want us to try to imagine again what God is doing in this world, in his world. I remember God asking me 17 years ago, what if you were to move to Boston and preach the gospel to college students there? I think, what if I had said no? What if God had not led a group of people to join together to plant a church in Boston to make disciples of college students and young adults 11 years ago? I think of all the people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ here at Symphony over the years and over at JCC. No need for imagination. That actually happened, right? I think about the marriages that got their start at our churches. I think about lives that God changed. I think about people who discovered they had a spiritual gift and they devoted it to God. I think about people here who saw a need in the world and they changed their job. They changed what they did with their financial resources. They changed their lives in response to God's will. I think of people whose eternal destinies have been changed. I think about people who were healed, and I'm so glad that God brought us together as a community. What if we were to really see and value each person, each of us, one another, in the way that God does? I think about Pastor David Kwan, my friend and brother in Christ, who has led Journey Community Church in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, or the Research Triangle area for the past 9-10 years. How one day God said, what if I make a David Kwan who will be a black belt martial artist, not just in Tang Soo Do, but in spiritual battle as well? What if I make him a fighter and a battler and persevere in compassionately loving and teaching people about Jesus? JCC, aren't you glad that God thought up a David Kwan? I think about Pastor Sean John, who has pastored here for 9 years and who are now sending out to become the lead pastor of Remnant Westside Church in New York City. How one day God said, what if I make a Sean John who will be smart enough to go to an Ivy League school, but then when he gets there, he won't just get a great education, he'll meet me and give the rest of his life to serving me and people in such an unassuming and humble way that no one even knows where he went to school. Aren't you glad that God thought up a Sean John? I think about David Son, who we sent out to plant Thrive Church in Taiwan almost 3 years ago. One day God said, what if I make a David Son and make him so talented that he'll be able to preach, lead worship, design things on Photoshop, build electric guitar pedals, and do carpentry? Oh wait, I need to humble him somewhat, so I'll make him go to Cal Berkeley, right? I'm so glad God thought up a David Son. I think about Doug Tritton, who is part of our original church plant team. Then he left a high-level career at Accenture and EMC to become a young adult pastor here, and who are now sending out back to Philadelphia to become a lead pastor at Grace Covenant Church, where he first met Jesus. I think about how God one day thought, what if I make a tall white boy with Scottish, German, British roots, but he'll come to know me at a church filled with Asians, and he'll fall so deeply in love with Korean culture that he'll take on a Korean nickname. What if I make him so nice and smiley that people will always feel good whenever they see him? Aren't you glad that God thought up a Doug Tritton? I think about my wife, Sunny, who until this year led our worship ministry, and how God one day thought, what if I make a Sunny Kang who's beautiful in every way, and I'll give her a heart of worship and incredible time management skills and talents so that she can be a full-time math professor, lead a worship ministry of 30 people, lead an inner healing ministry at Symphony Church, be a mom to 2 boys, and have enough emotional reserve to deal with a Barry Kang? Aren't you glad that God thought up a Sunny Kang? I certainly am. I could keep doing this. I still have a number of staff members that I could talk about. Some of you are hoping that I'll keep going because you're waiting for me to talk about you. Some of you are hoping that I won't because you're waiting for me to talk about you. I think about you and I think, what an amazing God God is. What if we saw our church the way that God sees our church? What if we didn't just see an organization, but the people that make up a beautiful organism? What if we each had like a little God cam with us? And what if we could see each other as agents of God's kingdom, of God's shalom, of God's dream in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our homes, our offices? Are we living, are you living a what if life as a what if person? Are you waking up every day saying, God, what if you want to be with me all day today like you've never been with me before? What if you have something to do for me that is full of life and joy and that's going to teach somebody else or touch somebody else for all eternity? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We begin with asking, we begin with imagining, and then God does immeasurably more. You know, all through the Bible, God used ordinary people who would ask a what if God to use them in extraordinary ways. An old man named Abraham one day said, what if God really will make Sarah and me into a great nation, a new human community on earth, a family that's been blessed to be a blessing? Think of the imagination it took for Abraham to step out in faith like that, to leave everything and follow God. One day, a stammering leader named Moses said, what if God really will override Pharaoh and lead God's people out of slavery into a promised land? What if I could be part of that? One day, a young boy named David said, what if God really will protect my life and guide my hand if I'm willing to take on this scary giant named Goliath? You know, one day, three exiles named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego asked, what if God will actually deliver us from an idolatrous king and go with us into a fiery furnace and bring us out the other side? You know, whether you're in the Research Triangle or in Boston, our two churches are located in two of the most creative, innovative, powerful knowledge centers in the world. But what if our churches were actually leaders also in imagining a different world? You know, if you had to say who had the greatest imagination in the history of the world, whom would you say? Who had the greatest imagination in the history of the world? Walt Disney? He invented a magic kingdom, but actually not the most magic kingdom. He thought of an amazing mouse, but he's not the most imaginative person. No, not Bill Gates either. He thought up remarkable things to do with a mouse. He imagined iTunes and iPhones and iPads and iPods and MacBooks, and he made a lot of money, but not him. Some of you know who I'm thinking of. You're thinking, I know who Pastor Barry's thinking of. No, not even the amazing Ron Pope, who thought up the Vegomatic and the Dial-O-Matic and the Dice-O-Matic and the Bass-O-Matic and hair in a can and all these remarkable inventions that have changed people's lives. He invented the phrase, but wait, there's more. Actually, not even the founder of Ronco. No, of course, I'm talking about Jesus. He walked among us and he appealed to the human imagination. Think about this, with a power never seen before or since. And he was able to do this because Jesus himself was the creator, the inventor of the human imagination. He imagined the ability to imagine. He walked among ordinary people. He said to them, I want you to imagine a kingdom, the real magic kingdom. Imagine a kingdom where the last are first, where the least are the greatest, where the servants are the heroes, where the weak are made strong, where the marginalized are loved and cherished. I want you to imagine a world where outsiders become insiders, where people who lose their lives end up finding them, where people who die to themselves and to their junk and their guilt and their sin and their selfishness end up actually being brought to life. I want you to imagine a God who opens his arms wide up to tax collectors and prostitutes and spiritual losers. I want you to imagine a heavenly Father who loves so deeply that he celebrates, he dances with joy every time a rebellious son or daughter comes home and throws themselves at the Father's feet. Then I want you to imagine something called the church. I want you to imagine a community, a family that embraces every culture, every ethnic group, every individual, rich or poor, smart or uneducated on earth. You know, not only had no community like this ever existed on the planet, the idea of such a community had never existed before Jesus. It was his idea. He thought it up. And then in the most unimaginable moment in human history, this Jesus said to himself, what if I die on a cross and take on myself all that sin and all that suffering and all that pain, all that guilt, all that death that crushes the human race? And he did it. They put his body in a tomb. And 3 days later, God said to Jesus, now what if you get up? He got up and death has never been the same. Life has never been the same. After he got up from that grave, he gathered 11 uneducated, unconnected, unresourced followers, and he said to them, but wait, there's more. There's more than life and there's more than death. What if I were to tell you, in addition to this matchless teaching that I've been giving you that will guide you forever and ever, stories that you'll never forget, what if I were to tell you, beyond the forgiveness of your sins, by the way, which I purchased for you on that cross where I died, in addition to that, I'm going to throw in a new community of brothers and sisters that will be like a family to you. Imagine you're going to be given the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you all together. You're going to be sent out, scattered all over the world. Eventually, you'll be martyred. But of course, death can't stop your existence with God, and it can't stop this dream, this movement. This community is just going to keep spreading until it reaches more people in more places, embracing more cultures and shaping more lives than any movement in human history. And then it actually happened. And here we are. You know, faith is, among other things, an act of the imagination. The Bible says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. That means God is still looking for what if people, because wait, there's more, right? God doesn't work his imagination only inside the church, but also through the church and outside the church. So let's imagine. Imagine if every university campus in the greater Boston area and in the Research Triangle had a flourishing church community. What if every neighborhood had microchurches driven by a passion to worship God and see his will being done in their neighborhoods, just as it's done in heaven? What if we were stewards of our blessings, recognizing that we were blessed to be a blessing? Imagine if these communities showed the light of Jesus with every word that they spoke, with every act of service. Imagine if these good news communities were actually good news to others. You know, Symphony Church began with that what if. What if college students and young adults met Jesus here, especially in college, like Pastor Sean met Jesus in college, and Pastor Doug met Jesus in college, and Pastor Dave met Jesus in college. But let's keep imagining. Imagine an education system where every school in Boston and in Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill has been adopted by a church. As you may know, I'm the directional leader for a network called Greater Things for Greater Boston. It's not a formal network. It's not a denomination. It's just some churches in the Boston area imagining the greater things God wants to do in Boston and imagining the possibilities of working together for those greater things. One of the ideas that Greater Things started with was simply, what if every single school in the Boston area had a group of people at a church who adopted them, was praying for them, serving them, and helping them? As you may know, at Symphony, we're part of that effort. As a church, we're supporting the work of Ruth Wong, who over at the Emmanuel Gospel Center is heading up the Boston Education Collaborative. Right? 5 years ago, we started partnering with the Jackson Mann School over in Alston. And this past year, we imagined, what if children whose education was completely disrupted by the pandemic had a virtual tutor who cared for them and walked alongside of them this year? And I'm proud to say that 58 volunteers at Symphony captured that imagination and spent over 2,300 hours collectively together this past year with students at the Jackson Mann School. Now, sadly, this is the last year that the Jackson Mann School will be in existence. After this year, they're going to tear it down and rebuild it. But what if our commitment, even as they're going back to in-person classes in the fall, only increased so that the number one and number two words that students would use to describe 2021 and 2022 were joy and blessed? Let's do some more imagining. Let's imagine tech companies and consulting companies and venture capital companies being infiltrated with devoted followers of Jesus so that the incredible wealth-producing capacity of our areas began to flow, not towards more and more lavish lifestyles, but with a God-powered generosity towards where it can do the greatest good for the human race that God loves. But wait, there's more. Imagine families getting redeemed. Imagine Symphony being a community that can bless whole families. Imagine if we bless the entire area and community around us. Imagine people finding freedom from drug addictions and pornography addictions and depression because they met a Jesus who is a healer and deliverer. Imagine if the number of people dying of drug overdoses in the greater Boston area went from the endemic that it has been to nothing. You know, 5 years ago, we had no idea how that might happen, but God said, what if I connect Symphony Church with Lion of Judah Church and Antioch Community Church and Cornerstone Church and then Boston Chinese Evangelical Church and they all work together to bless the people that I love that are living and struggling on the Miracle Mile. Let's imagine some explicitly spiritual things. What if more and more and more people came to know Jesus through our churches and discovered how much the God who created this universe loved them? What if they grew in intimacy with God and in awareness of his presence and his voice, and they started following Jesus also wherever he led them? At Symphony and JCC, we want to act on that what if. What if we got serious about praying for our friends and our family and our classmates and our colleagues and our neighborhoods, and we got others to pray for them also? What if one of our most popular gatherings was actually Monday night prayer because we delighted in bringing our imagination before God in prayer and hearing God communicating his imagining to us? You know, some powerful stuff happens when people come together and agree in prayer. What if this year we had hundreds of guests be welcomed into an environment where they could eat together, laugh together, and think about Jesus and ask any question, raise any objection, and receive love and understanding, and then ultimately Jesus? What if every microchurch and family group decided to run an alpha this year? What if we got serious about the Word of God and we decided that we were going to go through each day chewing on a thought from God? What if we took a verse and we memorized it and we meditated upon it every day? What if that word got buried in the soil of our heart? What kind of fruit might it bear? What if we conducted a grand experiment, all of us together, to find out? What if, for those of you in microchurch, you came ready to share a revelation or a prophetic word with your microchurch because you've been hearing from God all week? You know, one thing that churches have found is that people who live within 15 minutes of where they attend church are more likely to be spiritually engaged in every dimension, in community, in serving together, in doing evangelism, in generosity, in every area of spiritual life. Well, what if God wants his gospel to spread more around Boston and the Research Triangle, and he wanted to do that through multiple microchurches? Right, in campus ministries. What if we were part of a God-imagined church planting movement where we kept planting microchurches and also bigger-sized churches, and that every neighborhood had a church that loved and cared for them? You see, God loves and cares for those neighborhoods. He cares about commerce, and he cares about workplaces. He cares about culture and beauty and learning. What if God wanted to use you in those places? What if God could use you to encourage a coworker, or to help a student learn, or to make a neighborhood better, or to be generous with your resources? Let's get more personal. Some of you have a what if that you want so badly that you hardly dare hope for it. What if my dad actually were to come to know and love God? What if I were to find a job where I could do really good work? What if my pain, my history, my failure, my addiction could be healed? Imagine if we were so rooted in the love of God that we were no longer concerned about what other people thought. Imagine having the peace of God reign so fully in your heart that discouragement and anxiety simply gradually faded away. Let's get more personal. Imagine being so devoted to God that over time, sin and temptation increasingly just lost their appeal. Imagine if Boston and the Research Triangle were filled with these radiant churches and God-energized people, and imagine our churches as just this joy-filled part of that greater movement. Imagine the drama of redemption happening on an unprecedented scale. I'll give you one more. This one's hard to fathom, you know, but we're actually invited to imagine this one by Jesus, okay? Imagine that you die, and one day you will die. Only imagine that you don't taste death, because Jesus said once, "The one who trusts in me will not taste death." Imagine it's only like a door where you just come out the other side and there's Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine as you go across the finish line of heaven, there are all kinds of people on your right and on your left, and they're saying, "Jesus, this person right here," and that's you, "is part of why I'm here before you in heaven," right? "This person right here noticed me and cared about me. I was hungry and they fed me. I was lonely and they visited me. I was uneducated, they tutored me." You could play a part in that. What if we were part of fulfilling the Great Commission, making disciples by going, baptizing, teaching people to obey Jesus? Imagine our whole church being there in heaven, and Jesus looks at us and says, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Well done." Imagine that, because it will happen. And when it does, I think we might simply say, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your incredible love for us. Lord, we thank you that there is no one, Lord, who has a greater imagination than you, Lord. And we thank you that you are the God who does immeasurably more, unfathomably more than we can ask, than we can imagine. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would begin that work of our beginning to imagine right now, Lord, that we would step out in a more faithful kind of imagination, a more imaginative kind of faith, that we would expect the greater things, that we would hope in the greater things. Lord, what a wondrous God you are. So Lord, sanctify our imaginations, God. Sanctify them, set them apart. Lord, make holy our imaginations, and may we dream with you. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking, I was thinking actually in preparing this message, was, I didn't say it earlier, but you know, God is more than you can imagine, right? He's holier than you can imagine. He's more loving than you can imagine. He's more gracious than you can imagine. So we can bring all our prayers, all our requests, even our, you know, weak, you know, broken, sinful selves before this God who will love us, not in the way that you imagine, but even more. There is healing in this Jesus. There's transformation possible in Jesus. Let's keep imagining. Let's go before God. Let's take a few minutes or a few moments to just imagine some more. Just bring prayers before God. Let's hear what he might be imagining for us. Let's go before the Lord. Jesus. You know, at this time, let's bring an offering before our God. JCC, just as an explanation, at Symphony, we bring our offerings after the sermon, because we want our offering to be a response to what God has been saying. And we believe the best offering that we can bring to God is an offering of our hearts, an offering of our obedience. And the way that we symbolize that is through the connection card. And so if you've never done this before, whether you're a visitor or at JCC, I invite you to go to our website and go to the connection card, okay? If you're in a microchurch, your microchurch leaders will explain how to get there. But let's go to that connection card that actually our announcers mentioned earlier. And there's a section that you'll find called Next Steps. If there's anything the Lord has been asking of you, you can write it in that Next Step section. If there's some options there that you can check off, but you can also write in your own. If you have a prayer request that you would like us to be praying with you, please write that down. You can also use that section to just ask any question that you might have, or let me know how you're doing so that I can you can give me an update on your life. Feel free to use that section in those ways. But let's bring an offering to God today. Perhaps today there's someone out there who has decided, you know what? I've never imagined this kind of God before. I've never imagined that Jesus would love me in such a way. I've never imagined that he would actually go on a cross to die for my sins out of love for me so that I could be with him. I've never imagined what it might be like to live with God. But today, I want to step out in this imaginative faith and put my trust in him. If you do that, this God who is able to do more than we ask or imagine will come into your life, and he will make his home with you, and then his imagination will start becoming your imagination as you do life together. And I hope that today you might make that decision today. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you, God, again for your love. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for this incredible hope that we have in Jesus. The incredible hope that we have in you, Lord, who are able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. Lord, what an amazing, holy, gracious, loving, powerful God you are. And we want to continue, Lord, to be in prayer, Lord, for our neighborhoods, for our churches, for our families, for ourselves, that we would see your kingdom come, your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, bless our congregations as we move forward together. Bless our congregations. Bless our congregations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, just as a reminder, today we are starting to take the love offering for our 2 1-year interns, missionaries, Saren and Brandon, that are going to Taiwan. We're also, Symphony Folk, going to be taking that love offering for Pastor Sean John and Pastor Doug Tritton, just as gratitude and appreciation for their years of faithful service, their families to us. And we just want to bless them as they head out. So you can do that today. There are directions in the connection card as well, if you haven't already submitted it. Next week will be the last week we're going to be taking that love offering as well.